The Promise to the Overcomer, Part 3. This message was preached by Brother Emos on the 6th of February, 2007, at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos, and is the concluding part of the above-titled message. Good evening, Church. The Lord bless you all. It is nice to be together. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother Emos prayed. On Sunday, we were able to look at an aspect of our message we titled The Promise to the Overcomer. We were able to look at what it is we are to overcome, and how we are to overcome, or how we can overcome. And it is my prayer that God will help us, and empower us to live a triumphant life at this evening time, as God is wrapping up His dealership with the Bride of Christ. So, we have a promise tonight. There is a promise to the overcomer, but remember this. It is a promise to the overcomer in every age and in every era of time in this age of grace. So there is a promise for us today, in our own day, in this our day. But I pray God would uphold us by His power, and that He would see us through. We will take a text again from Revelation chapter 2 verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. Verses 26 to 29. And he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. Saints of God, I am going to back up a little to address what I want to address today. What a glorious promise we have before us. What a wonderful promise. A promise of eternal life, because that is what the morning star is all about. A promise of eternal life. It is Zoe, the very life of God, a life that has no beginning, and a life that has no end. And when we receive it, we will know no more sorrow, we will no longer know any pain, no heartache, nothing can touch you anymore, because you have broken through the veil. But Church, there is something for you to overcome. You must overcome everything the devil throws in your path at this evening time, by which he tries to stop you from walking with God in the light of His Word. Therefore I put it to you, what the Lord has for you is more than what the devil can throw at you. So you do not have to be dejected walking in this way. It is not a way you manage. It is a way of life, a joyful way. There is peace like a river in it. In this way, we have the joy of the Lord. It is the joy of salvation, a joy unspeakable, and a joy that you can be in the midst of a storm, but yet have peace in your soul. You have peace because you know that the God that made the universe is with you, and you have a promise upon your life. And He will see you through. That gives peace. That gives encouragement in saints, the promise of God, and the certainty of His Word, and the infallibility of His Word, is what gives us confidence. It gives us a hope and a confidence because we know His Word is immutable. It means it is unchangeable, and it does not fail. Saints of God, the world is groaning in darkness tonight. The world is groaning in pain and turmoil. It is in great travail. It is in great misery, with evil, and wickedness, and perversion, immorality and crime, violence and disasters, diseases and plagues, and torment on every hand. But Church, God is calling out a people, and He is dealing with them revelatorily, to prepare them for the glorious return of the Lord. And when the Lord comes in that resurrection morning, that glorious morning, we will go with Him. That is the hope of every believer. And that is worth living for. I said it is worth living for, and it is worth dying for, if need be. It is more than life, because this life has nothing to offer you but misery and disappointments, heartache, stress, turmoil, and problems upon problems, mountains of problems upon problems. As one problem goes, another comes, and sometimes you think, if I can only surmount this mountain, that would be all. No. It is a lie. As a mountain is going down, you see another one raising its head. That is the story of man, the story of fallen man. But we are looking for a city whose maker and builder is God, a city where there is no sorrow, no pain, where there is no worry, no disappointment. That is like a song we sing. There is no disappointment in heaven, no weariness, sorrow, or pain. Hallelujah. And that is exactly what we are looking for. But remember, to obtain that, you must overcome. You must overcome to receive eternal life. And that is the morning star, the spirit of eternal life. But look at verse 17 of Revelation chapter 2. He said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." Hidden manna, one, "and will give him a white stone, two, and in the stone a new name written, three, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it." I want you to know this is promised to every overcomer in every age, and in every era of time, in every junction of time in this age of grace. So we want to take a look at the hidden manna. We will go to 1 Peter chapter 1. But before we read 1 Peter, remember this. In St. John chapter 6, Jesus was speaking to the Jews, but they could not understand his revelation. When you come to verse 49, he says, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." And you know the Bible says the manna they ate is angels' food. "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." This is the bread. In other words, this is the manna which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread. In other words, I am the living manna which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, in other words, if any man eat of this manna, he shall live forever. And the bread, that is, the manna, that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And when he made the statement, confusion broke out because of the lack of revelation. And yet, in simple terms, he explained it in verse 63, that it is not his physical flesh, although that physical flesh is what will be given to pay the price of sin. Verse 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." In other words, it is the Spirit that gives life, the flesh. Material things profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Brothers and sisters, the revelation of Jesus Christ is the manna. It is his revelation that is the manna. But look at verse 31. They were telling him, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Bread from heaven, that is, the manna the Israelites ate in the wilderness. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world." Amen. In other words, Christ is trying to tell them something. I am the manna. I am the true manna. And whoever partakes of this manna, even though he die, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. I am the manna, the true manna from above. When Jesus said, "I am the true bread," he means I am the true manna. But they did not believe him. And they did not understand that the manna they ate in the wilderness was only a representation of the true manna, a representation of the true bread, which is Jesus the Christ in his revelation. At that, always at that condition, because to know Jesus in his flesh will not give you life. It is to know him in his revelation that gives life. That is why thousands came, sat and ate bread and fish that he multiplied. But only about 120 out of them followed his revelation and were in the upper room to receive life. Because those multitudes, those thousands, saw nothing and heard nothing. They had no revelation. So it is knowing him in his revelation that gives life. The revelation is life eternal. That is why he said, material things, the flesh, profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. But the word I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Therefore, if you want life, you cannot have it outside the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the manna. But look at it. Jesus called it the manna. Why? Because the Old Testament manna which the Jews fed on in the wilderness for so many years was only a representation. It was only a pointer to the true manna, which is Jesus Christ. That is why he said in verse 49, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." That is, they are eternally separated from God. Yet they ate manna which no other nation had access to, and which no other nation ever touched or tasted. Think of it. They were the only ones, the only bunch of humanity, that were privileged to taste manna, straight from heaven. Angels' food. And in all the glory of it, and in all the majesty of it, yet it is nothing compared with the manna of Christ. Hallelujah. And the manna that they received from heaven in the wilderness is only a representation of the true manna, which is Jesus the Christ, in his true life giving revelation. That is why he said, I am the true bread, that is, I am the true manna that came down from heaven. You know, Jesus Christ did not come down physically from heaven. It is the Spirit of life, the Spirit of God that came down as a dove and incarnated him at Jordan River. That is what came down from heaven. But whoever reads this manna, he said, will not die. Hallelujah. When we come to the New Testament era, after the Jews had eaten manna for many years, Peter was sharing a truth in 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 8, talking about Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets, that is the prophets of old, have inquired and searched diligently, in prayers, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Let us hold it there. What is Peter saying here? He is talking of a new revelation, the revelation of life, the revelation of the New Testament, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, a testament which the Old Testament prophets prophesied about. For they saw something by the dealership of the Spirit. They saw a message, they saw a grace, they saw a power, an anointing, and a glory upon our people, a serious dealership of the Spirit of God, and that stirred their soul, and it created a desire, a longing in their heart. Father, is this dealing meant for us? They began to probe in the Spirit, being prophets. They began to search in prayer, as it caused them to fast and pray, seeking God's face. Father, is this dealing for us? And they were told it was not for them, but for our sake were those things ministered. Hallelujah! It was given to them that they may carry through time in prophetic utterance. Yet the truth of it was hidden from the Jews about these prophecies. Yet, the reality of those things they ministered about were already set in types and shadows by the laws of Moses, under the Old Testament, in the Torah. But they did not understand. And that is why today, the Jews do not understand why the Gentiles are following Jesus, a Jew, whom they rejected, because they cannot understand the promise of God to Abraham, that through him shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Prophet Hosea also declared in prophecy, I will call a people who are not a people my people. Brothers and sisters, they did not understand all these things, but there were prophecies concerning the salvation of the Gentiles. Church, all the Jews knew were the laws of Moses and the prophets, but predominantly the laws of Moses. They could not see beyond the Torah because they fed on that old manna. But here came the new manna, the bread of life, the true bread, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, a new covenant that was foretold by the Old Testament prophets and that was foreshadowed by the Torah Moses gave. Still they could not see it because it was withheld from their understanding. God withheld it from their understanding. And when the grace age opened up, and the days of the reality was here, the apostles initially did not understand this plan, and God had to deal with Peter in a wonderful way, even to get him to go to a Gentile house, the house of Cornelius in the book of Acts chapter 10, in Caesarea in Syria. Brothers and sisters, the revelation concerning the salvation of the Gentiles was new, and that full revelation was fresh manna for that period of time. The light was given to one man, Saul of Tarsus, whom the Lord met on the way to Damascus, and converted him, and transformed his life, and made him Paul the Apostle, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That man bore a revelation of something that men did not know. He bore a revelation of truth. He bore fresh light from heaven, and it opened the plan of Gentile salvation, the faith of Christ, by which the Gentiles would be saved. And church, look at what he said in Ephesians chapter 3. Concerning the message of Jesus Christ he bore. We will take it from verse 1, right through to verse 9. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation, so, that is fresh light, he made known unto me the mystery, definite article, the, that pertains to the plan of the salvation of the Gentiles, the grafting in of the Gentiles into the commonwealth of Israel through Christ. That is why he says in verse 4, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery. So it is a mystery concealed from men. Yet, it had been spoken of in prophetic utterances, but the truth of it was withheld from them, until an era of time. In the New Testament age, when the revelation would be given to a man called Paul, and that man would lay this whole plan out for the bride of Christ. That is why he was sent as a light to the Gentiles, to the ends of the earth. In other words, through all the ages of time, he is a light, because he bore the standard of the truth of Christ. Verse 4, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Not mysteries, plural, but the mystery, singular, of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are talking of a plan of salvation of the Gentiles through Christ. It is a mystery. It is in fact the mystery. But wrapped up in this singular mystery are various mysteries concerning the kingdom of God. Are you with me? But the mystery here is the mystery of the grafting in of the Gentiles. And that is precisely what the seventh angel of Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, William Branham, finishes or completes. It is a completion. He completes the grafting in of the Gentiles by his message. He finishes the mystery, which is the grafting in of the Gentiles into the same tree of life with the Jews. And Paul lays it out here in Ephesians chapter 3. We must understand that Revelation chapter 10, verse 7 is not talking of plural mysteries of the kingdom, but is talking of a mystery, singular, which is the salvation of the Gentiles. Period. In verse 5, Paul says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles. Hold it there. These men knew who they were, and what they bore on behalf of the bride of Christ, and they knew the absoluteness of it. They knew it was an absolute. It was the absolute, and there is no getting away from it at this evening time. Talking about that mystery, verse 5 declares, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is that mystery? Verse 6 tells us that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. And if Paul could say that, I wonder what I will say if he calls himself the least of all saints, that I should preach among the Gentiles. Listen to this, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Church, that was the manner for the day, and it is still the manner for this day as well. It is manner for the entire grace age. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, singular, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. In other words, God created all things for Jesus Christ. Hold it, the church. It is a mystery hid in God from the beginning of the world. Here, we see a hidden manner, a manner that was hid in God, a mystery which is none other than the revelation of the New Testament. It is the New Covenant. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yet, it had been foreshadowed in the Torah in types and shadows, and the prophets of the Old Testament prophesied and spoke concerning it. But the understanding was withheld from man, because the understanding was still hid in the mind of God. There were witnesses drawn through time in prophetic utterances, but the plan was still buried in God's mind, because God, by his Spirit, put a seal on these prophecies. But then, when the time came, that the star messenger to the Gentile race would be set in place. God anointed a man, Saul of Tarsus, and the Lord Jesus changed his name to Paul. God took him to Arabia, and in the space of a few years, God began to deal with him by his Spirit, taking him through the Torah and the prophets, bringing out all the types and the shadows, opening up the prophecies of the Bible pertaining to this Gentile plan of salvation through Christ Jesus. And when that man came from Arabia, he came anointed, he came inspired, he came revelated, he came with an open plan, a blueprint, and the master plan for the salvation of the Gentiles. He came in his hand with the revelation of the truth that the faith of the Gentiles would be established upon, and he came as the apostle to the Gentiles. Church, we can say this tonight. What Paul laid out in deep, revelatory, spiritual depth and way, he laid, by the Spirit of God, giving us an insight into that which was hid in God, giving us an understanding into that which was buried only in the mind of God, and vindicated by the Torah in its types and shadows, and by the prophetic utterances of the Old Testament prophets. But church, you have to agree with me today. What Paul brought was fresh. It was a fresh light for the day, and for this entire grace age. It is the new manna for today. Now it has been opened up. Now it has been laid out in the Bible, and we can see it as we read the writings of Paul, what that manna, that bread that came down from heaven, Jesus Christ, the bread of God, pertains unto. But when we come to Revelation chapter 2, we are seeing there a different manna, different to the manna Paul laid out before us in Ephesians chapter 3. The manna we see Paul lay out in Ephesians 3 was fresh for this one day of salvation, this grace age. And now it has been opened up to us, and we can see it. Yes, there are still some closing out revelations we are yet to come in possession of, but all are laid out nonetheless in the New Testament writings. But brothers and sisters, when we come to Revelation chapter 2 verse 17, the Bible here talks of a hidden manna, which is strictly a promise to the overcomer. So, it is a manna we do not possess until we cross to the other side. I was in India a few days back, and a brother asked me, he said, "Brother Amos, what will you say to this?" Brother Branham, when he was talking about the third pool, said that the seven thunders will reveal a new name. But church, even the seven thunders will have to overcome and cross to the other side to receive their new name. And no seven thunder is going to give a new name because the seven thunders themselves must overcome. They are people that must also live a triumphant life or they would not have this hidden manna. Every man in the ministry and every man in the bride is faced with tests and trials, and God expects you not to overcome. Moreover, this promise is strictly for overcomers. So the promise to the overcomer is also a promise that is laid before the seven thunders. They will themselves also have to overcome to come into this promise. In other words, before they can come into possession. Because nobody comes in possession who has not lived a life of an overcoming to the very end. It is overcoming unto the end. It is holding faith to the very end. So the seven thunders will not give anybody a new name. We all receive a new name, not from the seven thunders, but from Jesus Christ himself. And we do not receive it on this side. We receive it on the other side, after we have laid our armor down, after we have fought the last battle, and crossed over to the side, having lived a triumphant life, standing faithful and true to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Church, so when we get to the other side, every man will stand, including the seven thunders, to receive the reward, which is promised to the overcomer. We are all expected by God to overcome, and God gives grace to his people. Amen. So Jesus Christ promised, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." So we must now ask ourselves this evening, what is the hidden manna? Church, I repeat, it is not the manna we are feasting on in the grace age. In the Old Testament era, the New Testament faith was a hidden manna because it was a revelation concealed from men, but it constitutes the true manna for the entire grace age. Do not forget, John the beloved apostle also tasted of this hidden manna, the true bread that comes from heaven, which is Jesus Christ in his revelation. Yet, John still spoke of a hidden manna to come. What is he talking about? What is this hidden manna? It is a promise that takes us beyond the grace age. That is the first thing to note. It is a promise that takes us beyond the grace age. It is after this grace age is all over, and we have crossed over to the other side in the rapture, that we come before the judgment seat of Christ to receive this reward, this promise, and come into possession of it. That is why I said, whatever the city minor is, it has no application in this grace age, except that we have to live an overcoming life, standing faithfully for truth to the very end, and living the truth, to come into possession of this hidden manor. Saints of God, since it is something we possess up there when we get to heaven, a hidden manor we partake of on the other side, then you have to see it is a revelation of the Spirit of God. But what kind of revelation? Knowing that this is a hidden manor that even John the beloved apostle has not yet fed on, but he is also waiting for the day when we shall all come before the judgment seat of Christ to receive our reward, a time when we will be given this hidden manor to partake. So, what is a hidden manor? It is what we will have by the Spirit of God. Yes. But how do we apply it? What is it? It is a revelation. But it is not a revelation message that we already possess. Then church, that lets us know, it is not a message that pertains to this grace age. And knowing that it is something we are going to receive when we cross over to the glory land, in heaven, prior to our coming down for the millennium, then it has got to pertain to the plan of God regarding the millennium. And I will tell you in simple terms, the hidden manna that we are going to eat up there in heaven is the blueprint for the millennium. It is the millennial blueprint. Yes, we have some beautiful insights in the Bible to the millennium, and we will see some of it tonight, but yet, the blueprint is not laid out before us. Look at the grace age. It was already typed in types and shadows, but the revelation of it was withheld from men. So we can say this. Men prophesied about it, and God used Moses to set it forth in types and shadows under the Torah. But Paul was the one that ate this manna and laid it out for the bride of Christ. And we can say tonight, the plan of Gentile salvation has been opened up. It is no longer a mystery. We are possessors of it because we are partakers of it by the grace of God. But this manna God promises in Revelation chapter 2 verse 17 is still new, and we do not have it on this side. We will have it when we cross over to the glory land in heaven. When we get to heaven, God will give it to us. Then what is that manna pertaining to? It is the next phase of the dealing of God with mankind. Remember, after the era of the Torah, the next phase was the grace age. And brothers and sisters, that brought a new light, a new revelation, a fresh manna from heaven, the revelation of Jesus Christ. But when this time of grace is over, when this era is over, and we cross over to glory land, we are also going to face another era of time called the millennial reign. Therefore, as at the beginning of the grace age, when the Spirit of God began to deal with men like Peter, but principally like Paul, to give revelation of this new message, this new light of Christ, so will God deal with us in heaven concerning the hidden manna, which is fresh light in the tower of time to come. It is a message that relates to the plan of God concerning the millennium. That is why I call it the millennial blueprint. And church, revelation of truth is not something that is so big. Actually, revelation when it comes is so small and so simple. But until God opens it up, you just gloss over it. It is like a mountain until God opens it up. So do not look for the big things. But church, look. Come with me to Revelation chapter 2 verse 17b. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of this hidden manna. That is the first promise in this text. The hidden manna. And that is the millennial blueprint. Now come with me to Isaiah and see why I say it is the blueprint of the millennium. Isaiah chapter 11. And we will take it from verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. That is Jesus Christ, the root of David. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. But look at verses 6 to 10. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, that is in the millennium, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The kid is a cow's baby, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Isn't that wonderful, that a child, a little baby, can lead a lion and a leopard, and not be afraid, and not come to any harm whatsoever? Because it is a reign of righteousness, and a reign of peace, when the son of prosperity, our Solomon, and our Joseph, Jesus the Christ, will take over his own seat, and there will be peace from coast to coast in this world, and there will be joy, and true prosperity. Hallelujah! There will be security, there will be love. Oh my! What an hour! Nothing shall hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord in his word. There will be no one that will go to bed hungry or with fear, and there will be nobody without a roof over his head. Think about it. It is a utopia the world is looking for, and no man can produce it. It will take Jesus the Christ alone to produce it, and that will be in the millennium. But look at what he says in verse 7. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Because God is going to change their gastric or digestive system, and their teeth, and all those dangerous claws these animals used to tear flesh, is going to disappear. Yes. Verse 8. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the wind child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. Look at verse 9. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in the day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to share the Gentiles' sick, and his rest shall be glorious. Look at Isaiah chapter 2, from verses 2 to 5. And it shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that is to Jerusalem, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. That is the millennial promise, when God will lift up the nation of Israel as the pride of all nations and above all nations, and from every nation of this world, people shall go to Jerusalem to worship the Lord of hosts, and to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is an Old Testament type that has not yet been fulfilled. Because the Feast of Tabernacles, where they dwell in booths, is speaking of the millennium, when from all the nations of this earth, there will be a representation of people in Jerusalem from every nation. It is not that the whole of humanity will go to Jerusalem, but there will be a representation of every nation that will go to Jerusalem. What an era of time it will be when there will be righteousness, true peace, and no violence, no immorality, and no poverty, but a reign of the righteous. It is a wonderful hour, yet it is not yet the perfect day, for it is not yet the eighth day. It is the seventh day. It is the Sabbath of the earth. It is the Sabbath of the planet. Hallelujah! It is the millennium. That is the seventh day. That is what the seventh day Sabbath is pointing to, a time when God will allow this earth to rest and replenish itself. Today, the laws of God have been broken down. They have perverted the covenant, they have defiled the earth. The Bible says the earth is defiled under its inhabitants thereof. Due to greed and material lust, they have wasted and exhausted the resources of this earth. Fallen man just cannot have enough. But in the day, what a glorious era it will be, when Jesus will reign and rule over this whole earth, and we will also sit and rule over the nations of the world with him. No, The Gentiles will not rule over the Jews, and neither will the Jews rule over the Gentiles. The Jews will rule over the Jews, and the Gentiles will rule over the Gentiles. We will rule over the nations we came out from. That is why Christ promised the Jewish apostles in Matthew chapter 19, "You will sit over the 12 thrones of Israel, judging the 12 tribes." But we Gentiles also have a promise. We just read in Revelation chapter 2, from verse 26, "For Christ is also going to give us power, authority over the nations, over the Gentile nations, to dash them in pieces." Brothers and sisters, that lets you know, whatever the nation the bride is from, they go back there to rule in the millennium, and we will rule with divine authority God has invested in us. So, we see a plan unveiled already concerning the millennium, but only to a measure. We know about the millennium. We know it will be the reign of the righteous. We know Jesus Christ shall rule and reign. We know there will be peace and joy. We know there will be prosperity, and as such, there will be plenty to eat. But church, in spite of all the understanding, we still do not have the blueprint. We do not. As such, we can ask ourselves this evening, how will the earth be ruled? Where is the blueprint? That is buried in the mind of God as we speak tonight. The specifics, the blueprint of the millennium, how it is going to be run, how it is to be ruled, the logistics of it, is only in the mind of God. Yes, we know Christ will reign with his bride. We know that. But we do not know the specifics of it. We only have a glimpse, an insight to how the millennium would be, even as the Old Testament prophets had a glimpse into the New Testament era, how it would be. But the details of it, they did not have. That was given to one man called Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. So, it is the same thing. Tonight we have a glimpse by the eye of faith, and we desire it, because by revelation, we see a world that is so different from this world we live in, a world filled with heartache and pain, a world where every day is a stress, and a world where disappointments, sorrow, weeping, wailing, hunger and thirst, and problems upon problems abound. There is no end to its travail and evil. But we are looking for the trial time, when God will turn this earth around totally. Saints of God, look at Revelation chapter 2 verse 26 again. "And he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power, authority, over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." Watch church. We know we are going to reign and rule. We have an insight into the millennium, but we do not have the blueprint. The hidden manna gives you precisely that. It gives you the blueprint of the millennium, because that hidden manna does not relate to the grace age revelation. It is strictly the millennial revelation. And we will not have it here. We will have it up there, because up there, the specifics, the logistics, the details, we will have by eating this hidden manna. By it, the mind of God will be opened up to us, to know what we do not know and cannot know today. It is hidden today in this grace age because it is not meant for this era of time. But when we cross to that side, God will unveil it before us. Church, we will feast on the revelation we have never feasted on before, because it pertains to the next era of time, which is the seventh day, which is the millennium. Brothers and sisters, that is why when we are coming for the millennium, we are coming having fed on this hidden manna. We are coming with an understanding and a revelation of the mind of God concerning the millennium. What is to be done, when it is to be done, and how it is to be done, what God wants accomplished, and how we should perform it. Every single detail will be laid out for us. In the day you will know what you are to do, and how you are to function in the millennium. Brothers and sisters, when we are coming with a knowledge instilled in our hearts, a revelation knowledge, an understanding we have received up through glory. We are not coming back to this earth ignorant of how we are going to do this thing, how it will function in minute detail. Yes, we know we are going to reign, but how is the earth going to be brought into peace and prosperity, and be full of the knowledge of the Lord? And do not forget, the millennium is the age of regeneration, when God is slowly regenerating this planet back to its original condition before the curse, that is before the fall. Are you with me? When we are having our honeymoon in glory, These are the things we will be feasting on as the Spirit of God begins to lay before us in our plate, not in our physical plate, but figuratively, the fresh manna for us to eat. It is the revelation that pertains to the millennial rule. Let me show you something. Look at it. Yes, we know in the millennium, it will be a theocracy, a divine government, God's government on earth. Are you with me? It will be a theocratic government. It is God's literal government on earth. It is the kingdom of God on earth. It is a physical kingdom. But right now, we receive only a spiritual kingdom. But if we can live a triumphant life, upholding the revelation of the truth and being faithful to it, God will give us to possess that physical kingdom, the earth. The Bible says, the meek shall inherit the earth. It is in the millennium. It is not now. Look at what the Spirit of God said through the angel in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. He said, we are priests and kings of the living God. But right now, we are only spiritual priests and kings. But in the millennium, we will be literal priests and kings of the living God. But I ask you tonight, and I ask myself, how is that government going to be constituted? You and I do not know that. Yes, we know it is going to be a divine government, but there are so many things we do not know about that government. Why? Because all we have is just a glimpse into the beauty of that era of time. Are you with me? And we know God is going to use Christ and the bride of Christ, but church. We do not have the layout, the blueprint of the kingdom. No, we do not. But we see a glimpse that stirs our hearts and delights our souls. It rejoices our hearts and creates a longing in our hearts to want to be in the era of time, because this world is not our home. We are sick and tired of it. There is too much misery and evil, too much greed and wickedness. We are groaning within ourselves. Every day of our lives, it is a burden. But saints, what a day when we cross over to the other side, when there will be no more sickness. So, we say this. The hidden manna of the day is actually the millennial blueprint of the ruined glory. When we go for our honeymoon, those are things that God by His Spirit will lay out before us as we are instructed concerning the millennium particulars. And when we are coming back to earth, we are coming knowing what God wants done, how it is going to be done, the logistics for it. We have the knowledge of everything. So we are not coming feeling, I don't know. Will I be able to make it? Will I be able to do it well? No. Because you know, a revelation, a fresh revelation, and a divine ability has been given to you. Amen. All right. So the hidden manna that we are going to be given is a blueprint of the millennium. That is the first thing. But Christ also says in Revelation chapter 2 verse 17, ... and will give him a white stone. I want to say this. All these are connected together. And will give him. And is a conjunction. A white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. Church, the stone you receive is not going to be the same stone I receive. The stone I receive is not the stone that you receive. Each person will receive his own individual stone, and to you alone will that stone be given, and it is particularly to you, if I can use that expression. It is your own individual stone. It is a white stone. What is that stone? You have to see it as a personal revelation. Can I hear amen? A stone is a revelation. But this is not a collective revelation. It is a personal one. Why is it a personal revelation? Because each person receives his own individual or particular white stone. So it is just for you. Are you with me? It is personal. It is a personal stone, but it is white. It means it is pure. That is why it is white. White hair stands for purity and perfectness. It is a divine revelation. What is held in this white stone? That stone, amongst any other thing, will give you one basic thing. That stone will give you your precise position in the millennium. Through that stone, you know precisely what office you occupy. We know the millennial government is a theocracy. Jesus Christ will sit in Jerusalem, which will be the capital of the whole earth in that day, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we will sit over the nations of the earth from which we came, as kings and priests. But Jesus Christ will be the King of all the kings, which is the bride, But saints of God, you must know there will be hierarchy in the rulership or in the government. It is like a pyramid. It is an organogram, a chart, or rulership structure. An organogram is just like a pyramid of rulership or chart of authority, showing where positions start and how it comes down, giving forth the entire hierarchy. Church, you must know something. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know that. We are also rulers of the various nations in that day. But note, we will not all occupy the same post. And in the government set over each nation, there will also be a cabinet. Are you with me? There will be a cabinet. It is just as today. We have ministers in the federal cabinet and a president set over the nation. And we also have state or regional governments with commissioners occupying the state cabinet, with a governor over each state. Yet again, we have local governments with a council and a chairman over each council in a three-tier form of government. But church, beyond this, we will also have to look at world regional heads. Are you listening to me? World regional heads may be heads set over West Africa, for instance, and we know many nations make up West Africa, or over East Africa, Central Africa, South Africa, Western Europe, Eastern Europe. Are you with me? E.T.C. We can transpose that to America, Asia, in the various breakups. We do not have the details now. It is simply to show you something. That is why we need to eat this hidden manna and also possess this white stone, because the hidden manna will lay out the organogram for you and I, plus the minute details concerning how that era will be governed, what God wants accomplished, how He wants it accomplished. We will return to earth, already installed with a grace and an understanding, and with power and authority to carry out just the mind of God for the day, because it is already unveiled to us. That is the hidden manna. It is a manna that relates to the millennium. Yes, it is still the revelation of Christ, but it is not the salvational gospel. It is the millennial master plan, bearing out the total plan of God for the millennium. But the hidden manna will also give us the millennial governmental structure. But here comes the Lord. He also gives you a white stone, which locates your precise position in the government, because you have lived an overcoming life. I have to say this. It pays to live a sacrificial life for the Lord. Don't you ever think what you do for the Lord will not be remembered. And do not be a fool to want to stop doing it, because the devil is trying to make you weary. That is why Paul encourages us. Don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season, you will reap the reward, if you do not faint. But then, we must value something to know that at any point in time, and at every point in time, it demands our all, because outside of it, we have nothing. It is what we see, and how we see it, that will steer our response, and determine our response, if it is going to be fervent and firm, or lukewarm and shabby. We can even face it with disdain if we do not see something. What we see is what is going to motivate us. What we do not see cannot stir our heart. May God give us understanding. As such, the hidden manna we will eat up there will give us an understanding, a revelation of the details concerning the millennium with its rulership structure. But the white stone we will also receive is personal to us. It relates to nobody else but you and you alone. Then I call it a personal revelation. And it holds your precise place, your precise position, your precise office in the millennial government. So when we are coming down from heaven on white horses, we are coming knowing who we are and what position we are going to occupy. That is, we will know the capacity in which we are going to serve, and we will come fully invested with a grace, a revelation, a power, and an ability from God to serve faithfully in that capacity. And that is why I have to say tonight, whoever has not lived an overcoming life will not be given to reign and rule in the millennium. That is a fact. To reign and rule over there, we must learn to submit to the rulership of Jesus Christ here. Whoever will not submit to the rulership of the truth of Jesus Christ for this day will not be given authority over the nations. No. Why would the Lord give you the authority or right to rule and reign over the nations of the world, when you yourself cannot submit to His rulership here in the grace age? Hear me well. There is no one that will be given authority over the nations to rule and reign in the millennium who would not have lived an overcoming life here, submitting himself absolutely to the dealership and the rulership of the Spirit of Truth. You will submit yourself to the absolute rulership of truth. You will let God and His Word have His way in your life if you are to reign over there. Because if you cannot submit to the truth of Christ and cannot submit to the leadership of Jesus Christ here, neither will you submit over there. So the white stone is personal. Whatever other thing it has, it will definitely have one thing, along with any other thing it may have, which is personal to you. It will give you your precise position in the millennium. And by the white stone, you will know what God demands of you, positionally. But do not forget, you will not at that time be like you are right now, because you would have received the spirit of immortality. Are you with me? Because you would have been changed into Christ's own very image, a superhuman being. You will know then, as you ought to know. So you have an understanding that is divine, a knowledge. You are just like an angel at that point in time, bearing a glorified body. It is a material body, but it is glorified, a body that can appear and disappear. America or Japan is just a thought away, and you are there in a moment. You are not bound and limited by natural obstacles and circumstances that bound mortal men. So it is a different kettle of fish in the day. But the white stone gives you precisely your position, the place of authority you occupy in that organogram of God, that is, in the divine authocratic government. It is personal to you, so it is your revelation. But what is the third promise Christ gave in Revelation chapter 2 verse 17? And in the stone. That is why I said it is the revelation of a millennial position among other things the stone represents. Did you hear me? When I said it is a revelation of your position among other things, shows the stone will also contain other personal revelations, things that are personal to you alone. Let us look at something else in the white stone. That is the third thing I want to bring out. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. You are going to have a new name. No, you are not coming back bearing Victor Cole showers. That is for this era of time. No, you are not coming back bearing Bose Agoma. That name is not good enough for that era of time. Hallelujah. It is a new name the Lord gives to you, and church, nobody else knows it. Only he that receives it knows what the new name is. It is a personal revelation that God gives to you, personally. So we are not coming back with the name we now bear? No, we are not. But I want to show you the beauty of it all, because brothers and sisters, the queen must take on the name of the king, if he is her bridegroom, and they have wedded. And Jesus Christ indeed is our bridegroom. And that is why every queen must be subject to the rulership of the king. She must be subject to the authority of the king, or she will not be queen. Remember the book of Esther. How many remember that queen who was set aside? Queen Vashti. Because she would not submit to the authority of the king who is her husband, she was dethroned, and a new queen worthy of that office, a virtuous, humble, humane, submissive, and righteous queen was put in that office, Queen Esther. And that is why we say, whoever will not submit to the headship of Jesus Christ established today over the bride, by his word, whoever will not submit to the rulership of the truth of Jesus Christ, will not be queen. This promise is not to such a person. This is a promise strictly to a person who has lived an overcoming life. In other words, it is to a person who has submitted himself completely, absolutely, to the rulership of truth and to the headship of Jesus Christ in his mystical body ministry on earth today. Jesus can make such his queen. And that is why I said, each queen will have a new name. It is like King Solomon and all his many wives, many queens. But remember, today, Jesus the Christ is our bridegroom. But on that day, he would have become our husband, because we are getting married to him when we go up in the rapture. Now we are engaged. Now we are espoused to him. But when we go up, we will be married. And when we come back married. Today, we are the bride of Christ. For we are the elect lady, but when we come back, we are his wife, his queen. And do not forget, every wife, at marriage, takes on the name of her husband. Come with me to Revelation chapter 19. I want you to see something as well. Revelation chapter 19, from verses 11 to 14. And I saw heaven opened. This is the day of the Lord. It is at the very close of the last week of Daniel. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. The white horse speaks of divine power, mega, divine authority. Verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Why does he have many crowns? Crown speaks of rulership. Crown speaks of kinship. But he has many crowns. That lets you know he is king of all kings, and he is lord of all the lords. So he has authority over all the nations of this earth. That is why he has many crowns. It is rulership over each and every nation on earth. Are you with me? Verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written, that no man knew, but he himself, because he received it from God. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven. Note that. Armies which were in heaven. Armies already in heaven. Armies which were, past tense, in heaven. They were not taken up today. No. They were already in heaven. When? When the last week opened up. That is when the bride goes up, because we see her hair clothed in fine linen, clean and white. And the Bible tells us that the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You see that in verse 8. But we want to continue with verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Amen. So verse 12 tells us, he has a new name written, that lets us know, whatever Christ possesses, we possess with him. Whatever Christ has, we share with him. This is a royal king with his royal wife. In this age, make no mistake, God is looking for a royal bride, the seventh golden candlestick. And the bride of Christ will show the qualities of royalty, because royalty knows how to respect customs and protocols and carry themselves in a dignified and befitting manner. And every elect bride of Christ will respect the customs of Jesus Christ, the customs of our God, laid out in the Bible. Because we are not of this world, even though we are in this world, we are citizens of heaven, citizens of the New Jerusalem. We will, as such, carry ourselves as is becoming of the gospel, as we are the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Christ will have a new name also. But do you know the beauty of it? That new name, which Christ will have, a name no man will know but he himself, will be added to our name. Because he is going to receive his own white stone from God, and we will receive our white stones from him. But remember, it is still God in Christ. All right. So Christ, not only has a new name, but look at Revelation chapter 3 verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. So you are going to bear God's name. In other words, you are going to have a revelation of God. Amen. And the name of the seat of my God. In other words, God will make you part of that new Jerusalem. Amen. Which is new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. Jesus admits here that he has a God, who is his Father. Watch the next clause, and I will write upon him my new name. And nobody knows that name except Jesus, and he will not know it until he receives it. He has not received it yet. Think about it. That is part of what we are going to receive in heaven, because we are coming back with a new name. And the beauty of it is that the Queen will not only have her own new personal name, the name of the Lord will be added to her name. That becomes your surname. Hallelujah. No, it is not like a name that you know now. Forget it. Do not even think about it. You cannot dream of it. I said you cannot dream of it, because it is a revelation you will not have until you receive that new stone up there in glory, and the name of the Lord is also invested in you. So there is no dream that will give it to you, and there are no seven thunders that will give you this new name either. They themselves will have to overcome to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive their own white stone, because it is not a stone we receive from another man. It is a stone we receive personally ourselves from the Lord Jesus Christ, of the throne glory, not down here. Are you with me? So when God releases the seven thunders, at the close of this final church age, they are only going to prepare us prophetically concerning the rapture event. Period. They will have no new name for nobody. We must rightly divide the word of truth. So, we are coming back with a new name, and with the new name of Christ added to our name, because he is our husband in the day, the millennium. We've become Mrs. Jesus, even though the name will not be Jesus. It will be a new name. Saints of God, what an era of time is coming for us in the millennium. And I want to encourage you tonight, my brothers and sisters, for it is worth it to make a firm stand for truth. It is worth standing firmly for truth, because if you do not stand for truth, the devil will get you. You have nothing to withstand the devil except the revelation of Christ. Not even your holy life can stay the hands of the devil. The only ground the devil cannot prevail against is the ground of revealed faith, the ground of revealed truth. That is what Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this revelation, upon this rock of revealed truth, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is the only thing the devil cannot prevail against, revelation. That is why I said, you have no victory over the devil outside of revealed faith, because what gives you victory is a revelation of Christ. Turn it down, and you turn down true victory. And when you trample it down, the devil has gotten you. The devil will get you. Outside truth, the devil will get you. That is why I said, he does not fear your fasting, but we will learn to fast and call upon our God, because it is part of worship. It helps us to have a close walk with the Lord. Yes, prayer and fasting does. Prayer is like the staff of a Christian, and we will learn to use it. We will learn to come in with our God. But yet, prayer is not what the devil fears, because all that will not give you victory over the devil if you are found outside of the truth. When you are outside of the truth, you are in the territory of the devil. What gives prevailing power is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Stay with the Word of God. That is why John said, this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It is the revelation of Christ that gives us victory. Remember, victory is of the Lord. The revelation faith of Christ is our security. That is our security. That is our defense. That is our fortress. That is our fortification. That is our prosperity. Saints of God, hold to it with all your heart. I beg of you, make a firm stand for the truth of this hour, this continuity truth of this day. That is what the devil is going to try you on. That is what your trial by the devil will entail. He is going to test you on the revelation that you have had access to at this evening time. Will you stand for it, or will you not? But you cannot stand for it if you do not have a revelation. That is why I started this message by saying, until you can see the preciousness of something, knowing how invaluable it is, knowing how incomparable it is to anything this world can offer you, there is no way you are going to sell all to possess it. You have to have that revelation first. And that is why some of you may think, these people are always talking about the Word, the Word, the Word. It is because outside it, we have nothing. Outside the revelation of Jesus Christ, what is there for you? This world is coming to a close. There is nothing in this world anymore. Everything is crumbling. It is speaking of change and decay. And fire is coming to purge it all. We are tired of this world. And that is why the Bible says, in this world, we have no continuing city, but we are seeking a city to come, just like Abraham. So I beg you, I plead with you, my brothers and my sisters, because it is going on tape, the best thing you have today is a revelation of Jesus Christ. That is eternal life. Do not play with it. For in that revelation are glorious promises and a glorious future, a future you cannot compare with whatever you have today. Give me a brand new car worth 20 million naira. You know by next year, it will be like trash, because they will produce another version that makes the old one look or seem trashy. They make it obsolete. I say that only to make a point, for we should be contented with what we have, and be grateful to God. And even if it is not like that, you can crash the car, and it becomes a write-off, and the money just goes down the drain like that. Moreover, it can be stolen or damaged. You can be driving, and one drunken driver just comes and bashes it out of existence from the back, for no fault of yours. There is nothing we have here. We thank God for the cars God has given some of us. We thank God for it. But church, that is just for the flesh. That is just for human convenience. But more than that, your only possession, and your true possession, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And when you have a revelation, it just makes truth so plain. It is not a big thing. It is just so plain and simple. And it makes absolute sense. It just opens up the Word of God. And when it opens up, there is not one shred of scripture anyone can use to nullify it. It will not work. That is a revelation. Revelation holds in the Word of God. I am about to bring my message to a close. Remember, those who followed Brother Branham in his days had to overcome the ridicule of the religious world to stand for his truth. They had to overcome whatever the enemy threw in their path to make them reject the truth. Whether family, whether friends, whether neighbor, whether job, whether husband or wife. Because sometimes, your trial can come from your husband, and sometimes it can come from your wife. Sometimes it is your children. Sometimes it is your parents. Sometimes it is your friend. Sometimes it is your brother or sister. And sometimes it is from your workplace. But saints, if you have a revelation, it anchors your heart. But whoever did not receive William Branham in the revelation of truth he bore in his hour would not be part of the bride. It is that simple, and it is that serious. But you must also realize that God moved on after the passing away of Brother Branham. And God set Raymond Jackson in the chief apostolic office. And he also was used of God to shed more light, continuity light, to the truth Elijah bore. I have to also say, to stand for Brother Jackson in his day, in the continuity truth he bore, and to live an overcoming life, you had to endure the ridicule of the Branham movement. You had to endure their ridiculing, their rejection. It made you walk a lonely walk, because nobody will identify with you. This or Raymond Jackson as a blackbird, that is the name they even called him before the prophet, and the prophet had to rebuke them. And the prophet made a remark, "Junie Jackson is standing for the same truth that you are standing for." He said, "He is standing for this message as much as anybody else is. He is our brother." That is a testimony of Brother Branham himself. A brother was reading that quote to me a few days ago. That may not be his precise words, but that is what he was saying. Church, but God also took away the chief apostle in year 2004, about 2 years ago. And God moved on. We are in the days of the apostolic leadership of a John-type ministry at the end time, under Christ. And may I tell you this, to follow the continuity of light of Jesus Christ for this day, which adds more light to the continuity truth of the chief apostle, which in turn brought more light to the message of Elijah, to stand for the truth, saints of God, you will have to endure the ridicule and the opposition of the Jackson movement, and the entire Branham movement. And may I tell you this, the Branham movement, which includes the Jackson movement, for the Jackson movement is a movement within the Branham movement, being an extension of the Branham movement, are all going to unite together to stand against those standing for John's continuity revelation for today. Brothers and sisters, you have the entire movement to contend with. You have the entire movement to contend with. But will you stand? Will you still stand for continuity truth? I say that people are not going to stand with you. That is why I said it is a lonely road. It is a way of the Lord's despise for you. Do not forget the promise of the Lord. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and only few find it. You will have to endure whatever ridicule, opposition, rejection, persecution, mockery, whatever the devil will throw at you, you will have to endure it and overcome it and stand still for truth to be an overcomer. My brethren, there is no use talking about overcoming in the days that are gone. You must overcome today, because this is a day in which you have existence, and this is a day that the devil will face you with a lot of bitter realities. And yet, the revelation, the continuity revelation of today is what will give you prevailing power, because the light Christ sheds in an era of time is what gives the people in the era of time prevailing power. Nothing else can prevail. You cannot reject the continuity light of Christ for this day and overcome the devil. You cannot. That is why I said, the revelation of truth, the continuity truth of today which God sheds to the message of Elijah, is what will give the bride of Christ of this evening time prevailing power. It is the revelation for today. It is the continuity light for today. Because that continuity light the Spirit of Christ is adding to the message, takes in all we got from the chief apostle, and all that we got from the prophet, plus the further light we have been receiving for the past 2 years through the ministry of the John of the end time. And that revelation is what gives us prevailing power, because it is the revelation faith of Christ shed in any particular hour of time that gives prevailing power. Because you cannot say you truly believe the truth of yesterday's, and yet reject or deny the truth that Jesus Christ is unveiling today by His Spirit from the pages of the Bible. You do not believe. The devil blinded you. The devil blinded you. So how can you overcome him? You will not. That is why I feel pity for those who are holding merely to 1965 revelation. All the truths they got from the prophet are the only things they want to believe, and that is all they believe, and yet the prophet has been gone for 41 solid years. Think about it. It even shows they do not have a true revelation of the message of the prophet. That is why all they see is the prophet. And God has moved on beyond that. We are in year 2007. What is God doing today? Is He not doing anything today? Has heaven been sealed up? Is God asleep? That is why Brother Branham said, man is always thanking God for what he has done in times past, and for what he will do in the future, but man never sees what God is doing currently. And church, we can look at the statement and throw it to the denominational people who rejected the move of God through the prophet. But what about what God is doing today? You too have to open your heart to for the dealing of the Spirit of Christ in the light of truth. You have to. Because God's revelation in your day, to the measure God is giving it, is what will give you prevailing power. Turn it down, and you are already overcome by the devil. Reject it, and the devil will turn you into minced beef. There is nothing you have over the devil outside of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is what gives you prevailing power. And that means you must open your heart to fresh light, as long as it is vindicated by the Scriptures of truth. That is why I implore you tonight, please stand for the continuity of truth the Lord is using John to give. We must stand for it, because in that revelation is our security. Remember, it is not about a man. It is about the truth of Jesus Christ. It is more than a man. It is about God's great plan of salvation. So look beyond the flesh of the man, and follow the light of Christ. That is what you must follow. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me read two scriptures, and we will close. Look at Isaiah chapter 66, just to encourage your heart. We will take one verse, verse 5. I want to read this tonight because the entire Branham movement worldwide will not recognize Raymond Jackson, and will not accept his truth, or his position in the bright ministry. They ostracize and condemn whoever is following the light God used Raymond Jackson to give. I therefore have to say, if the ministry and the continuity message of Raymond Jackson was strength to the Branham movement, how much more would that of John be? If Raymond Jackson was ostracized along with those following his truth, what would they not do to John and the followers of his truth? Therefore, for you to stand in this day and hour, in the face of the opposition of the devil, you must have a revelation. You have to. You must know the worth of what God is offering you at this hour, to really stand for it. But God encourages your heart, Because he says in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 5, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word." That is the key. Those that tremble at the word of God, ye that tremble at the revelation of the scriptures. Your brethren. He did not say your enemy. It refers to those who say they believe the message. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, "Let the Lord be glorified." In other words, they said they did it for the Lord. Oh my! What did Isaiah say? "But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed." Why? Because you are following the light. And there is glory at the end of the day for he that will uphold this truth to the very end. Church, do not let anybody take your crown. If you see the light, stay in the light. Do not let anybody shut your eyes, because you are the one who sees what you see. Then you do not need to believe the testimony of somebody who does not and cannot see what you see. If he saw it, he would be standing with you. Therefore, follow the light. Brothers and sisters, Peter said the same thing to encourage the saints in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 14. This is the last scripture we will take. From verse 12, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings." Because Christ was also rejected in his revelation, they turned down his ministry. And by turning down his ministry, they also turned down his truth. Because there is no way they will turn down Jesus Christ and not turn down his truth. You cannot turn down a man and receive his revelation, because a man is one with his revelation. It is not that the man is a revelation, it is that the revelation he brings is his own God-given input to the body, and it will always bear his name. You cannot take it away from him. It forever becomes his deposit of grace by the Spirit of Christ. That is why the Torah to this day is named after Moses, and is still called the Laws of Moses. Even God told Malachi, "Remember the laws of my servant Moses." You cannot deny that. That is scripture. In fact, Apostle Paul declared in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15, "But unto this day we are Moses." It's read. He said that because a man is one with his message. And I repeat, when I say that a man is one with his message, it is not that the man himself is a message. He is not. It is that you cannot take away the truth God uses a man to give to God's people from him, because it is his input in the body of Christ. It will always bear his name. You can never take it away from him, because a man is one with his message. And that is why I said there is no way for you to receive the message of a man and reject the man. You cannot. You cannot. And you cannot reject Jesus Christ and receive his message at the same time. That is rubbish. You cannot. Just how can you believe his message when you do not even want him? That is hypocrisy. It is impossible. You cannot reject him and yet accept his truth. That is confusion. Verse 13, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that, when his glory shall be revealed," oh my! Saints of God, that day is coming, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ. In other words, if ye be reproached for the revelation of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, because on their part truth is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Amen. Church, truth is worth it all. It is worth your life. It is worth your all. It is your greatest possession. It is your greatest asset. It is your greatest investment. It is your security. It is your prosperity. It is your future. It is more than life, if only you can see it. But church, it is impossible for you to trade everything to possess it, unless you have a revelation of it. How you see something, and the value you place on something, is going to determine whether, like Martin Luther, you can sell all to possess it, because today, men are selling truth. They are selling it, because they want popularity, they want money, like the rich young ruler. He had so much money, and yet all his money was worth nothing, laying it on the scale of eternal life. He rejected the revelation of life. Later, God called for his soul, and he left all his money behind on earth. And what did he take to heaven? He took nothing. What a wasted life, when he will have to spend eternity away from God. Think about that. God is offering you the best. Please stand for truth. There is a promise to the overcomer. Yet we have only looked at the promise of God from a minuscule perspective. Think of it. Because there is more to the promise of God. Remember, we have not even talked of the eternal age. If we bear with him and stand for truth and endure his suffering here, we will also reign with him and enjoy his glory. Saints, it pays to serve the Lord and to stand for truth. There is a promise to the overcomer, and there is nothing you can compare with it. The truth of Christ is everything. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother Amos prayed. May God bless you.